Okay, so we're going to start today with the mitzvah of Sfira of Sheva Nekiyim. Do you need a Sfira B'peh? So this is discussed in Pischei Tshuva Sifkatan Dalet. But let's begin with the Psukim. So we have in the Torah three places, technically four, where there's a mitzvah, at least potentially a mitzvah Sfira, by Zav in Vayikra Tesvav, V'chiyitar HaZav Mizavo V'safar Lo Sheva Yamin L'Taraso, and likewise by Zava, the Tahara Mizova, the Safra La, Shivas Yamin Lachar Titar. The second place is, of course, Mitzvahs Sfir Saomer, Svartam Lochem. The Gemara Menachos says, from here we see Mitzvah Shetei Sfir, Lachalachad Be'echad, Lachlokas Rashi Betosos, over there maybe what's Balafuke. And then finally we have Sfira of Shanim for Yovel, the beginning of Parshas Bahar, B'Safarta, Lucha, Sheva Shabbat Shanim, Sheva Shanim, Sheva Pe'amim. So everybody's going to agree about Sfira Sa'omer, that it's a mitzvah. The other two are contested. Are these really mitzvahs, and what is entailed? When it comes to the Sfira of Yovel, so there is a sifra over there that says v'safarta l'cha b'beistin, which sounds like the medrash at least is teaching you that there is a mitzvah of sfira for yovel, shanim for yovel. It's just not a mitzvah on the individual like sfira sa'omer, but it's a mitzvah upon beistin. That's at least the way Tosus and Menachos learns, though we'll see in a moment other rishonim disagree. But our primary concern here is not yovel but zava. So if we take a look at Tosos and Menachos, Samach Hamid Beis, Tosos writes as follows. The Gemara over there, as I said, writes, by Sfira Sa'omer, Usvartam Lachem, Shetehei Sfira L'chol Echad Ve'achad. What is this Bala Afuke? Says Tosfos, that the individual has to come to Sfira Sa'omer as opposed to Beistin by Yovel. And then Tosos concludes, V'gabe Zava D'chsiv V'safra Lo Shayach Babracha, Kevan shesoseres dichazia afilu b'shvi'i sasra. The simple reading of Tosos is as follows. There's going to be a bracha for the individual, for Sfira Sa'omer. There's going to be a bracha for Beis Din, for Sfira B'Yovel. And you would also think that there should be a bracha for the Zava, for Sfira Sheva Nekiyim. In other words, all three of these are mitzvos. And therefore, in theory, all three of them should get a bracha. But Tosos answers, we're not going to tell the Zava to make a bracha because maybe she'll be so seres. Now you could say, okay, so she'll be so seres. Why that doesn't, is that going to make her bracha levatala lemafreya? So Tosfos simply understood says yes. Because it's not just a stira mikanu laba, but it's a stira lemafreya. So therefore it would be a bracha levatala lemafreya. And therefore, since Shemeter v'Tistor, so therefore, she shouldn't make a bracha. But the simple understanding of Tosfos is that she should count, because that's all Tosfos says. Tosfos says, lo shayach ba bracha. She shouldn't make a bracha. If that is indeed what Tosfos is saying, so then this is like the sheet of the Shla. The Shla, as you saw, is quoted over here in the Pischei Tshuva. The Noda Yehuda says, the Shla is such a big tzaddik, he made up mitzvos. And this is an example of the mitzvah that he made up, the mitzvah Sfira Sheva Nekiyim. And he cites Tosfos and Ksubos as support for his position. However, why? So we'll see in a moment, because Tosfos and Ksubos is very similar to the Tosfos and Menachos, but instead of concluding the Lo Shayach Babracha, he says the Lo Shayach Basfira. However, the Tosas and Menachos sounds like the Shla, and not like the Noda Yehuda. Is it Muchach? No, I don't think so, because you could say he just mentions Bracha, but really he's saying that it's not even Shaykh Sfira at all. In other words, for the same reason why you can't make a Bracha, there can't even be a mitzvah to count. And that is because the notion of counting as a mitzvah is where you're able to do it. It's just a matter of doing it. Whereas here, where you can't, you can't. So you could say v'lo shayach b'bracha means basically v'lo shayach b'sfira, and say that what the Tosfos and Menachos means is what the Tosfos and Ksubos says. Even changes the gears and Ksubos, because The Tosus in Ksubos in Havamina talks about bracha and concludes with Sfira. But basically what the Note of Yudah would presumably say, he doesn't, if I recall, address the Tosus and Menachos. But what he would presumably say is that the Tosus and Menachos and the Tosus and Ksubos are clearly saying the same thing. And the more accurate formulation is the way he says it in Ksubos. You could also say that perhaps, yeah, that's probably what he would say. You know, maybe an extra knetch is the Gra says by Sfira Saomer, also the Ravya, that the Bracha is sort of integrated into the Sfira. The Ravya Mamish has it as a single phrase. I forget the exact lesson. I have it here, but anyway, put it in your Makara sheets. So if you understand that way, then yes, saying you can't make a bracha is saying the same thing, that you can't actually do sfira.
That's because there's a bracha, it's integrated.
Yeah.
There's
no
bracha, you couldn't theoretically do a
sfira. No, because, but why is the bracha and the sfira integrated? No, we'll say it that way for the Ravya. Now, the Ravya does actually discuss this question, so we're going to see what the Ravya says. But in theory, why is the bracha and the sfira integrated? Because there isn't a separate mitzvah of sfira and then a bracha upon that mitzvah. They're one. In other words, if you held that these were there's the mitzvah sfira and then a bracha on that mitzvah, so then you should do it the way we count, right? Which is have a berkas of mitzvah and then count separately. But what the Note of Yudah might say is that the very fact that Tosfos, especially in Ksubos, jumps, he starts off wanting to make a bracha, and his answer is you can't even count, shows that the perspective of Tosfos is sort of to look at these two things as integrated. And Mela, once you can't have a bracha, you couldn't even count. They're hainuach. Could be. Presumably. You could have somebody be motzi you, maybe. Misafik. But it's not clear if you would accomplish anything by counting without a bracha for the Rav Yah. I'll put it that way. As I said, Tosus and Ksubos, this is Dafayin Beis Bet Aleph, starts off with the question of Im Tomar, Amai Ein Mevarecha Zava, but he answers, V'yesh Lomar De'ein Mevarchen El Biyovel Shem Parvam Beisim Chal Shana Shadolim Yuchal Limnos Keseder V'chein Omer Aval Zamla Shem Tir V'tistor Ein La Limnos. She shouldn't even bother counting. Again, you know, the easiest way to understand it is there's a machlokas between the Tosfos in Gittin and the Tosfos in Menachos. However, the Note of Yudah and the Shlah will each try to argue that there's really one perspective and you'll have to kvetch one or the other. In fact, the Shlah actually changes the girsa of Tosfos in Ksubos. And even Mineiwe, it's not the worst change in the world because it is shver that he starts off, why don't we make a bracha? And the answer is in La Lispor. So he says, in light of Tosfos in Menachos, clearly the girsa in Ksubos is wrong. Because Mineobe, the girsa in Ksubos doesn't make sense. Now, the girsa in Menachos is consistent. So that's the view of the Shlom. When we start looking at other Rishonim, besides Tosfos, so far the only Rishon we've seen was Tosfos in two places. So they also take a stand on this issue. The Ramban understands that there's another factor here, another reason why there's no bracha or l'chora, for that matter, a mitzvah, which is imrotze shelo litbal rishos biyada. We're going to talk about this much more extensively in Simon Kuf Tzadi Zayin in the mitzvah of Tzilum Zman, a mitzvah and the like. But the Ramban says, look, she doesn't have to go to the mikvah. So how could there be a mitzvah for it to count towards going to the mitzvah, to the mikvah? Certainly, at least if you hold Tzilum Zman, a lot of mitzvah. The Ramban himself is misupik, as I said, so he thinks clearly a zava isn't a mitzvah. By Beistin, for Yovel, he's misupik. This is the Ramban in Vayikra Chav Gimel. And his lashon actually is very telling. He writes, V'tam v'sfarta lachem, k'mo lakachtam lachem, sh'tei sfira v'lakicha l'cholecha b'yachad, sh'yimna b'fiv v'yazkir cheshbono, kasher kiblu raboseinu. Meaning to say that the reason that the mitzvah sfira omer means what we do is because we have a Kabbalah as such. You're right. from the formulation of the psukim, we couldn't just figure it out. It's not like there's a drasha that teaches it to me. And this is a point that Sefer Chinuch writes explicitly. We'll see it in a minute. It says, Sfarta Mochem, Sfarta Ocha, Safra La. From the grammar of the text, you can't really infer what the gadir is. So how do we know that Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah? We have a Kabbalah as such. And therefore, he says, Ve'en Kain, the Safra Lo, Masha En Kain. There is no such mitzvah. We have no such Kabbalah. There is no such mitzvah for Zav and Zava. Sheharei, Imratzu Omdim Mitumasan. They don't have to go to the mikvah. Ella, so then what does the Pasuk mean? In other words, once we know that the Pasuk doesn't mean to count, bepeh, so what does the Pasuk mean, the Safra La? So the Nota Behuda, which we'll go back to in a moment, after having rejected the Shlad, saying there is no mitzvah minyan, no mitzvah of minyan bepeh, sphere bepeh, so then what is the mitzvah? So he makes up his own mitzvah. Right? His mitzvah is that v'safra la means some type of sima slave. The Ramban doesn't say that either. The Ramban says, so what does v'safra la mean? If it doesn't mean sfira, ella shlo yishkachu. The Torah is telling you not to lose track. V'chein v'safarta l'cha diyovel. Ramban, the same thing by Yovel. There's no mitzvah sphere by Yovel. It's a mitzvah shetizar b'mispar shalau tishtakach. Then he quotes a Torah's Kohanim that says v'safar talucha b'beistin, which might sound like it's a mitzvah. So he says, I don't know what to do with that. V'lo yadati im lomar shu beistin agadol chayavim lispor shanim v'shvuos b'rosh kol shana u'levar chalem k'mosh nasfis ha'omer. Does this drasha teach me that there's a mitzvah sfiras Yovel as there is for sfiras ha'omer? Olomar she yizaharu beistin b'minyin. Or no, just like the Safra La means that she should pay attention not to lose track, so the Safar Talacha means that Basin should pay attention not to lose track of which year is the Yovel year. And when it says Basin, it's just saying it's the Basin's responsibility to keep a good cheshbon, but not that there is a mitzvah over there. So he doesn't end up, he leaves off as a suffix. Tosfos understands it as, really, the Safarta, Usfarta Mochem is just a mitzvah. Of course, Sfira is a mitzvah, at least the Tosfos and Menachos. Of course, Sfira is a mitzvah. If the Torah says, Usfartem means it's a mitzvah. Usfartem Lochem teaches me, Al Kolachas Fachas, as opposed to Basedin. So, Usfarta Lochem means just Basedin. The Safra La means her. Okay, but she can't make a bracha. Whereas the Ramban says, no, Safarta on its own doesn't imply as a mitzvah Sfira. It just implies don't lose track. We have a Kabbalah that Usfartem Lochem means Sfir B'peh, but otherwise not. Sefer Chinuch Mitzvah Shin Lamed also writes, he says, V'im Tishal, right? Why am I counting the mitzvah of Sfir HaOmer as a mitzvah and also Sfir HaYovel, but not for Zav and Zava? It's unlike the Ramban who said like a Svara, because you could say Tameh. He says, I'll tell you the answer. Kabbalah, tshuva davar zeh, mashi gdamti, v'rosh sifri, ki kol inyan ha-Torah tali b'fer shamekubal. You're right. That's it. We couldn't figure it out on his own. So then, what does it mean by zav and zava? If there's no mitzvah here, along the line to the Ramban, shi yitznu lev al hayamim. I don't think that... you could say yitznu lev means more like the Nota Behuda. I hear that. I was misupik. However, it's to me more like the Ramban because he says yitnu lev al hayamim, that is, don't lose track of the days, as opposed to sima slave, that you not see blood. He doesn't say anything about blood. Yitnu lev al hayamim, and in fact, I think that this all Sefer Chinuch to me sounds like he's basically presenting the Ramban in his own words, kedarko. So yitnu lev al yamim to me sounds much more like don't lose track of the days as opposed to this. as we saw in a number of other Pesachei Tshuvos in our Siman. Losing track of the days is something that sometimes happens. Okay. So basically, again, we have three inyanim of Sphira in the Torah. Sphira Omer, everybody agrees what it means. Sphira of Zav Zava is debate, and Sphira of Yovel is a debate as well. Other Rishonim, there are those Rishonim who say that there is a mitzvah Sphira Mamish by Zava, like the simple eating of Tosas and Menachos, like the Shla. Different slight variations. There's a view of the Ravya. It's Maseches Pesachim, Simen Tav Kuf Chavav. He asked the question also, why doesn't the Zava make a bracha like Tosas and Menachos? And he answers a different answer. She'en anu b'kiyim b'mar adamin. So that certainly assumes it's a mitzvah sfira, but we're not really sure she's a Zava because we're not b'kiyim. The mashmaos is, bizman she'hayu b'kiyim b'mar adamin. Then you what? In other words, of course you're not going to make a bracha nowadays because we don't, odds are almost nobody's actually a Zava and there's no mitzvah for Nida. But the mashmaos of that answer, we give some other answers also why we don't make a bracha. But certainly if that answer is, of course, it is a mitzvah and really it should have a bracha. He doesn't even buy Tosus's answer that Shamater V'Tistor, maybe because, so just because you're going to mess up in the future, you know, it's like the Mishnah Brura citation or miscitation in terms of women counting Sfiras Omer if they're not going to finish, should they even start. So he's not bothered by that, but we're just not sure you're actually a Zava, so therefore you can't make a bracha. So we have certainly, again, Machlokas Rishonim, Machlokas Achronim. Again, what does it mean if what does V'Safrila mean? Basically, we have four approaches, I guess you could say. The Shla, maybe Tosas and Menachos, maybe the Ravya, means you should actually count. It's sort of interesting. We talked about last time that the source for Bedikos during Shavuot Nekiyim is also V'Safrila. Does that preclude the possibility of Sfir B'Peh as well? In other words, if it means Sfir B'Peh, Mechatesi, it teaches you Bedikos. Whereas if you take some of the other approaches, maybe not. Yeah.
The only words in Tosas and Menachos that Tosas Kasha wasn't Sphere of the Bracha, but the Bedigo should be the Bracha.
Aha.
And that's the job of Safala on the Bedigos.
Interesting. So the Havamin of Tosfos is that when you make them, but that's so schwer because we Paskin, they only need one. What's he asking? A Libet or Rabbi Akiva?
Whatever.
But you do once? You wait till the seventh day, you don't count. You get to the seventh day, you do the bracha, you do your bedik on day seven, you say bracha, list for, that's deraisa, or they're saying derabanan, that's a chiddush. You could, might be it's the
mechatzim. Either way, it'd be a kikim, like the chiddush, all you need is some sort of way of being able to be a kikim of the deraisa.
That's a chiddush to say that, right? That's a tremendous chiddush. Then Tomar, Amay en Vareches, Zava al Sfirasa, Kemoshim Varchan al Sfirasa Omer. That's a lesson of Tosas. Very schwer, right? Kemoshim Varchan al Sfirasa Omer. That sounds like a Yom Yom Rishon Lenekiyim. It doesn't sound like Asher Ketan Mitzosav Tivanu lived oak.
I mean, not Tosas and Yusubis, because Tosas and Yusubis says Engel
Lamanos,
so that's very clearly
talking about. Yeah, okay, good, I agree. Tosas and Menachos. Gabi Yovel. Yeah, but you could say it's even worse. In other words, he's coming off of Yovel and Sfiras Omer. But okay, I hear the pshat. Fine. So what does V'Safrila mean? So we have four pshatim. We have the Shla. We'll call it the Havam, maybe the Ravya, the Havamin of Tosas and Ksubos, maybe the Maskan of Tosas and Menachos, is that it means actually counting. Okay, I guess we could add Shachter, fifth Pshat. We have the note of Yehuda, whose lashon is Elavadai she'en zum mitzvah rak hakasuv omer shetashgiach sheyushiv yam alalu nikiyim shelo tistor. So the safala means making sure that there's no stira. Now, obviously, if you learn like the note of Yehuda, it's very intuitive whether you think the bedikos are deraisa or derabanan, why bedikos are kiyim of this, right? And that would explain very beautifully why, yeah, you might not need all seven, maybe one, maybe two, right? So for the Yehuda, it's very easy to understand how bedikos are a kiyum of this this mitzvah. Okay. Then we have the Ramban, which is simply shelo yishkachuhu, shetizar b'mispah shelo tishkach, and I thought that was also the view of the Sefer Chinuch. Then there's the Chavos Das in Pischei Tshuva Sifkatan Hei, who says, along the lines of what you're saying, that it means Sfurim Ubedukim. In other words, it's Bedikos. And like we saw in a number of Rishonim, who said that the Mechayev of Bedikos is the Safra. What do the Poskim say? So the Chachmas Adam says you should be Sofer Bepeh. And I saw there are some contemporary Sfarim who say this as well, like the Mishmer Satara. He says, look, it's not going to hurt. And at the very least, you know, even according to, if you, so even if you say like the Ramban, there's a mitzvah to make sure you don't lose track of time. So lose track of the count. So being Sofer B'Peh is certainly going to help you with that. So, you know, it's a, maybe like a third of a kiyum. It's not going to hurt. Why not? It is a mitzvah according to some Rishonim and Achronim, and it'll help you keep track. So you may as well. The Vinegar Olam, though, is not that way. There's a tshuva that I put on your Makar from Rav Moshe, Chelek Gimel, Siman Nun Hei. And the Vinegar Olam is that, if you wish, we accept the more than Halach of Rabbi Yehuda, or the Ramban for that matter, and there's no need to count at all. But it's not a bad idea. Yeah.
Considering that the Rav Yav, Shita Social, you don't count how it is because it would be integrated into the Bracha.
Yes. The question is there some, so that I think is a good point. I think it's going to depend on which answer the Rav Yehi gives. He gives more than one answer, but yes, agreed. If he carried over that model and it was mamish like Sirsa Omer with an integrated bracha, and moreover, you say that it not only happens to be integrated, but it must be integrated. So then you could argue that for the Rav Yehi, there wouldn't be a point either. Good. Okay, turning to Sif Vav. So here we get into the actual bredikos, and the Beis Yosef writes that some Rishonim say that how far in do you have to go? We already did the question earlier of Chorin V'Stachim, so we're not going to go back to that as much, but now we're going to discuss the question of how far in you have to go, how deep does it have to be? So Rabbi Rucham says you need Ad Makom Shashamish Dosh. And according to Rabbi Rucham, it would seem that if you don't, then it's not a valid bedika. The only Rishon that explicitly says you need ad makom shashamish dash is Rabbi Rucham, more or less. The Beis Yosef has a similar lashon from the Ravid. We pointed out that it seems that the Kisvayad of the Ravid don't have that phrase ad. It has makom shashamish dash, which might mean ad shemakom shashamish dash. Probably that's the simplest reading of Makom Shashamish Dash means as far in, but it's not absolutely clear. It could just be it's telling you Makom, but not Ad Makom. Of Makom, yeah. Yeah, that's my point. In other words, the only source that makes it absolutely unequivocally clear that you need Ad Makom Shashamish Dash is Ramini Rachel. That's significant because we might say, okay, it's a Das Yachid. Or we might say it's the majority opinion, somewhat depending on how you make that deal. But that's the point is, in terms of what's explicit, it's only in Rabbi Rucham. Now, why would that be true? It doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara. So the basis says it's a Sfar Pshuta, right? In other words, what's the whole idea? We want to see that she stopped bleeding or she's not bleeding. So you need to go to the Pesach HaMakor. And the Beis Yosef says that's simply because Nashim are metamos be yitzias adam leveis achitzon v'ad makom shashamash dash havi beis achitzon. So That's the logic. That's the logic. So if that's the truth, so why is it, let's assume that many, many other Rishonim disagree with this. Well, how could they disagree? And push comes to shove. In the end of the day, we don't really require it. So what happened to the Svara of the Beis Yosef? In other words, shouldn't you need to get to the place where the blood first comes out and would halachically be Dam Nida? So the answer is no, maybe. The Bedika isn't to be Mevarer that right now at this moment she isn't bleeding. You're right. For that, you would need to get to wherever the Dam starts. But that's not the goal. And especially you might add that if you have Chor and Vistaken, and this is a point that some of the Achronim, typical of the Sedrei Torah, point out, is the goal of Chor and Vistaken. Chor and Vistaken allow you to basically say, well, since you're not going to get all the way till the end, but since you go around all the other places, so if there was any Dam that left, whatever, in the last couple of minutes, so you'll pick it up in the Chor and Vistaken. And therefore, it's good enough. In other words, you don't need on Makos Hashanah's Dash precisely because you have Chor and Vistaken. It's true, we saw Chor and Vistaken is itself a debate. And if you think the Ravid's Girsa, like the Beis Yosef, Atzim Hashanah's Dash, might be Lishitasuk. Since you don't need Chor and Vistaken, at least you need Makos Hashanah's Dash. But since we do require Chor and Vistaken, then we don't need Makos Hashanah's Dash. And the truth is that even though Rabbi Yerucham does sound like it's likuva, the Bach says, even Rabbi Yerucham is going to say it's only lemitzvah. Ah, he says, ain't no klum. It means, ain't no klum if she didn't do Chor and Vistaken. But if you did do Chor and Vistaken, as you should, so then Ad Shashamash Dash is not likuva. That's one makor, Svara. The other makor, the Beis Yosef says, like we said, it's from Ravid, but that's not clear for the Girsa. And the Beis Yosef is Mosif, that it doesn't say anywhere in Shas that you need Ad Makom Shashamash Dash. So it's just a Svara that maybe there's blood there. Maybe there's blood there. And if we could do away with the Svara, then maybe the din isn't required. Then the Beis Yosef says, well, if you learn like the Rambam, that Makom Shashamash Dash is not quite hitting the cervix, so even Makom Shashamash Dash would not be sufficient. In other words, if you thought that the Svara of requiring Ad Makom Shashamash Dash means you want to know if right now she's bleeding, so therefore you have to get to the root, to the source, to the place where the blood comes out. So the Rambam says that even if you had Ad Makom Shashamash Dash, you wouldn't quite do that, because Ad Makom Shashamash Dash doesn't quite get you all the way to the place where the blood comes out. Typically, when the person is Dash Rishamita, as the Rambam points out, they're not reaching the cervix. And therefore, the Svara doesn't even demand, you know, Ad Makom Dash, at least if you learn like the Rambam, the Beis Yosef sort of sounds like, well, maybe the Rabbi Yerucham was disagreeing in the Metzias. But at least if you learn like the Rambam, and certainly, I assume that Rabbi Dr. Shabtai talked about this with you, but according to a number of Rishonim, the truth is that even reaching the cervix wouldn't be enough, because she actually becomes a Nida when the blood leaves her uterus and enters the inner os, not the outer os, right? So in that case, again, the Svara isn't even being recorded. There's no possibility of doing Vedika to the inner os, right? So the point is, this is Beis Yosef's point, that regardless, you're probably not getting to the root. And if you're not getting to the root, so why do you have to drive yourself crazy with Ad Makom Shashamash Dash? You haven't accomplished your goal regardless. He sort of says, well, probably Rabbi Yerucham holds that when does she become a Nida? Not when it leaves the cervix, but when it reaches Makom Shashamash Dash. I don't know. Whatever that is. Problem is, it's not a fixed amount. I mean, it depends, like the Beis Yosef says, on the Aver and on her size and his size and how you, but let's imagine it's a half a centimeter from, so, okay, she only becomes Tamea half a centimeter after it leaves the cervix. That's really weird. I mean, I guess you'd have to say something like, it's sort of like Asher, I think, made this point, like Beis Astam until that point. In other words, since that's the closest place that you sort of could get in contact with, Makom Shashamash Dash, so that's That's like the end of the basis dharma, and that's when the tumah starts, something like that. That's what that's the basis is, the logic behind that possibility in the Beis Yosef. But the basis is saying, look, the pashtus is like the Rambam, and therefore you don't even get that svara. Okay, I want to hear what Rabbi Shabtai said. I wanted to go, but I couldn't make it.
Wasn't the first situation so much?
He was just telling you the Matzias.
Well, this is biology, and
the none of them. He didn't even like Dr. Levy's, Professor Levy's Pshat and Rashi?
He said, well,
okay, fine. Aha. So he wasn't a concordance. Concordances? I forgot. People who try to make the Metzias shtim with the halacha. He was just saying, forget it. Okay, fine, good. Back to here. So what's the maskan of the Beis Yosef? So the maskan of the Beis Yosef says something really weird. He says, "Well, people aren't doing this," and then he says, "Not only are people not doing this, but it's come out impossible to do it, because if you try to do it, you're very likely to going to cause her to have wounds, right? Al yidei tachbulos. You're going to try to do it. You're going to have wounds. It's going to hurt yourself. The blood that you discover isn't even going to be damnida, right? So you'd expect, after the Beis Yosef said it's impossible to do, then he would say, so you don't have to do it. But nevertheless, he says, you have to do it. But we'll make some kulas. Say, you only have to do it twice, minimally. You have to do it once for the Hefsek Tara, and then one of the Shivanakim, because really, 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 Mikra'din, you only need one Vedika during all Shivanakim. And then he says, well, which one are you going to pick? Doesn't really matter, but let's do day one, because that way you won't forget. Now, it's a little bit odd, right? Because as I said, if it's impossible, then how could he say you do it? So presumably what he means is, yeah, you have to try to do tachbulos. You have to try to do tachbulos. Try to do tachbulos without being masarit. Now, the truth is, he doesn't say, when you look at the Beis Yosef, that you must do this. He says, venerally, l'bal nefesh, that you should do it. L'bal nefesh should do it. Now, this brings us back to an interesting question. And again, the fact that he says that even a bal nefesh should do it, it shows you that what he said earlier, that it's efshar, can't be that literal. Okay, so usually we assume that a bal nefesh means that this is not mikra din, it's a chumra, right? Only a bal nefesh should do it. However, when you turn to the Shulchan Aruch, what does he say? Shulchan Aruch sounds like, he doesn't tell you the ikra din. Now, if bal nefesh means a chumra, so the ikra din, you don't need to do it ever, right? From the Shulchan Aruch, you don't get that impression. Shulchan Aruch says you should do it. You should do a bedika ad machum shashamishdash for at least Hefsek Tara and bedikas yom rishon. So is there a stira between the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch? So you could go one of two ways. One way is to say no. Of course, we always look at the Beis Yosef to Paskin, and the Beis Yosef says it's a chumra. Mekarad, you don't need to do it at all. It's a chumra for bal nefesh. I and Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch oftentimes see Paskin's chumras that aren't medina. Like, there are other places. In Siman Beis, I think, of Aruch Chaim, he says that Asher, no, he doesn't use Asher, he says you shouldn't go Arba Amos Begili Rosh. Magen Avraham points out that's Chumra, it's not Medina. It's a Midas Chasidus. He doesn't say it's a Midas Chasidus. Shulchan Aruch, he tells us like what you should do, not always what is minimally necessary so as not to be in violation of the halacha. Right? Just as a mashal, since it's in Yonad Yom and Hochos Chanukah, he doesn't bring down in the Shulchan Aruch the Dina or the Mahadrin. You just jump straight into Mahadrin and Mahadrin. Of course, the Beis Yosef thought that your Yotzei with Neri Shuveso, right? He wasn't arguing with the Gemara. Shulchan Aruch is just like a practical, and like he says in the Hakdam, he says, you can't pass them from Shulchan Aruch, right? Shulchan Aruch is only because it's very hard to chazer all of Beis Yosef in Arba for all more than once a year. So, but you need something to remind yourself every month. So Arba Chalkei Shulchan Aruch is short enough that you could chazer all Arba Chalkei Shulchan Aruch once a month. So, but you can't paskin from it because it's just like very, very, you know, rishit pakim. Okay, that's one answer. The other answer I thought is no, maybe this is Beis Yosef Lashitaso. Remember, how does, what did Baal Nefesh mean earlier in the Beis Yosef? When he was reading the Rashba, he understood, I know that Moshe here did not like this pshat, but he understood that Baal Nefesh means what you must do. Why does he use the term Baal Nefesh? He uses the term Baal Nefesh about things that most people don't do, but someone who is a Baal Nefesh should do. In other words, when the Velt doesn't do what they really should be doing, so he uses Lashon that a Baal Nefesh, someone who really wants to follow what the halacha is and says, should do it. And that's what he means over here by Baal Nefesh, and then it would be consistent with what he says in the Shulchan Aruch. Nevertheless, so unclear exactly what the Beis Yosef really is coming down bottom line. And sort of, it's sort of interesting. What? From the Ravid, Baal Nefesh. The Beis Yosef already points out from the Trumas HaDeshen that it comes down to how you understand the Hanach Lahem in the Trumas HaDeshen. What does it mean? Trumas HaDeshen already observed that people weren't doing this. And he says, Hanach Lahem. And the Beis Yosef says, Hanach Lahem what? Is Hanach Lahem Afal Pish and Neviim and Neviim Heim? In which case you're saying Mikra Adin, you don't need it. Or is it Hanach Lahem Mutav Shushogun Vayu Mizidin? In which case he's basically saying, you must do it. Okay, we're not going to yell at everybody because they're not going to listen to us anyway. So Baal Nefesh should be Machmir, but everybody else, whatever, let's just stay quiet about it. Or is it no? Mutav Shushogun Vayu Mizidin. Sorry, Hanach Lahem B'nei Neviim, Inei Neviim, Inei Neviim. The fact that everybody does it shows that Ali B'di Amis, you really don't need to do it. In which case, Baal Nefesh, okay, you want to be Machmir, Baal Nefesh should be Machmir. So there's some ambiguity within Mechaber's opinion. The Ramah, though, is clear. The Ramah writes that Mikra Adin, you just do your best. And the Pashtus is that's the view of the Beis Yosef. And the Pashtus in the Ramah, when he says do your best, is... when it says kvichu kocha, it means without the tachbulos, not with the tachbulos. And that's certainly the way we paskin. And even though, you know, maybe some rishonim do say you need ad makom shashamish dash, maybe they don't really mean it, or maybe we don't paskin like that for the various reasons that we said. And yachron amad, you know, one of the advantages of doing a moch would be to avoid this problem, and as well as Chorin V'Stakin. Fine. So that's the way we paskin. And then we talked about earlier in terms of whether Chorin V'Stakin is ma'akev, so we don't have to go back as that. Now, one of the points that the Sidrei Torah makes is it can't be that makom ad makom shamash dash is deraisa. Because we know that a besula can do bedikos, and a besula cannot get makom shabbos dash by definition, right? So if you look, I guess I'm sure that you did do this in your Metzias shir last Wednesday, right? So you saw where the hymen is, where the besulim are. They're pretty low, meaning to say you didn't see this. Okay. Well, if you look at the Mar Makomos on the Metzias that I gave out at the beginning of the year, you could see a picture of where the Besulim are. And you'll see that they're pretty low, meaning to say, and therefore, Lamaisa, you know, when a Besul is doing Bedikos, she's not getting in very far. She's getting in basically to her knuckle, first knuckle. So nothing even close to Makom Shashamish Dash, in which case, clearly, it can't be deraisa because of besula is mutares, and you know, mizman chazal, you know, penuyos were also doing bedikos and the like. So clearly, it's not ma'akev, and many poskim, I've heard this from Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Neuberger, basically point out that mikra din either b'dieved or sometimes it's a shasat chak for other reasons because of irritation concerns, or sometimes it's just very tight or whatever it is. If she did a bedika and it gets as far in as a besula could go, so then it's going to have to work. I mean, b'dieved, clearly. So you could say, yeah, l'chatchila you need ad makom shasha mishdash, but it can't be, it's very schwer to say. I mean, unless you say, even if you're going to say that you have to do your best, and if you don't do your best, that's ma'akev, but okay, your best means reasonable, like we said, without tachbulos. And if you can't get any further because it's going to hurt you, or let's say because it sometimes comes up, sometimes a doctor would say you can't insert anything too far in. Sometimes that's what they'll say after a woman has a procedure or the like. So then the answer is, so if you could get as far as a besula gets in, so then that is good enough, b'shasat chak or b'diavid. Okay, fine. There is, just mentioned some side points. As we said already several times, there's times where there's a concern that doing bedikos will cause irritation. One time where this is very common is postpartum. The natural lubrication that women tend to have oftentimes sort of isn't around postpartum, and it could hurt if they do bedikos and sometimes cause irritation. So Moshe has a tshuva in which he says you could use Vaseline as a lubricant. Post can say, well, if you're going to use a lubricant, you shouldn't use Vaseline. You should use KY jelly because it's clear. Vaseline is like yellowish, more likely to distort the color. It's also better because it's water soluble. Vaseline is oil soluble. So that is what some post going to say. You can if you need to. However, really, it is better not to if you could avoid. And the reason is because these types of lubricants can sometimes prevent the dam from sticking to the aid bedika. It'll rub off, certainly with Vaseline, but even with KY jelly, there's at least a possibility. So she shouldn't do it if she could avoid it. A little better than Vaseline is to wet the bedika cloth a little bit. Again, if you don't need to, you shouldn't do that either. But if you need to, wetting the bedika cloth is going to be okay. Sometimes that makes it softer and less likely to cause irritation, but it's unlikely to prevent the dam from sticking to it. The guy, the chefer here that's doing shimush, was Ray Neuberger, so oftentimes he'll point out when looking at mouse, say, oh, you could see that on this one, this woman was using KY jelly, because you could see from the sort of the shininess that must have been what was happening. But I don't think we would tell a woman that she can't. And, you might also go ahead and sort of take the guidance of the Beis Yosef, which is that, so at least if you can do Hefsek Tara and Bedika, Bedikas Yom Rishon without it, and then for the rest, use KY jelly. Again, if that's going to cause irritation, then we certainly wouldn't want her to do that. In other words, there's really no point in doing a bedika that's going to cause her to be bleeding and discover non-bedika blood. Obviously, the standard is to use a cloth. The Beis Yosef and the like talk about different types of cloths. What about a tissue? Could you use a tissue? So Shevet HaLevi says, b'dieved, a tissue would work as long as she makes sure to have charen v'stakin. In other words, there's no zeres akasa that it has to be made out of cotton or cloth. So especially if you had a high quality tissue that, you could use charen v'stakin, it wouldn't fall apart, then you could. So l'chatchila she shouldn't, because when you use something like a tissue, you are afraid it's going to rip and fall apart and the like, and therefore you might not do as good of a job. You might not do charen v'stakin. But let's say you had a woman, whatever, she needs to do Hefsek Tara. She doesn't have any bedika cloths on her. She's at work, whatever, she forgot. And she's very careful, and she says, okay, I use tissues. And I know I did Chor V'stakin. Shem Halevi says it's fine. But Yisholchan is Mesopik. He says, if you don't have a tissue, you should use paper towels. I think that makes sense if that's plausible and it's not going to hurt her or anything like that. Oftentimes, if people are stuck in out tissue without bedikah cloths, you could cut up an undershirt or something like that. In other words, doesn't have to be the kinds that you buy in the official bedikah cloths. Any type of clean white paper should work. No. I mean, because I think the way we try to do Chor V'stakin, I don't know if you'd get that. I'm also not as sure if it's as absorbent as a cloth. Meaning to say, and I don't know about the metzias, right? If you had something that was white, but non-absorbent, it wouldn't be as good. And moreover, in other words, the way we say you do Chor V'stakin, we mentioned Rabbi Neuberger's suffix about what Chor V'stakin actually means, because the women don't have Chor V'stakin. And therefore, but the way we understand Chor V'stakin means is to sort of go all over the place, not just go in straight, but to all over the place. So that would be very hard to do with a tampon. The way the bedikah cloths are better for that. So I would think that, if you didn't have a bedikah cloth and you had a tissue and a tampon, so I don't know, maybe do both. If between the two of them, try your best. The poskim say, have a recommended position for doing bedikos. It comes from Chassam Sofer, I think, and others. If you take a look, the Baal Shulchan brings it down that she should stand with one foot up, like on a bench, or sometimes they're on a toilet seat, and one foot on the ground. That's the minhag. That's the way we recommend it. But if there, it's certainly not ma'akev, and sometimes if there's a reason not to do it that way, so then you won't do it. For example, a woman once spoke to me, and this sometimes happens after pregnancy, that she had a dropped cervix, meaning her cervix was much lower down. So every time she did a bedikah that way, she was hitting the cervix and then causing a maka. Cervix is very tender in her case. There was a bodekes who basically showed her how to do a bedikah while laying down to avoid, able to do Chor V'stakin, but avoid touching the cervix. Sometimes, each case, you'll have to decide. Okay, so like I said, Asif Tess says, Kalamar Be'areza Meshubach, in terms of bedikos. We don't say that nowadays. We don't advise that. Not because we don't think it's true. In theory, it is true that Kalamar Be'areza Meshubach, but for the reasons that we said, that sometimes the bedikos themselves cause irritation, and therefore, it's not advisable to do more than the bedikos that you're supposed to do. So how many bedikos are you supposed to do? Shulchan Aruch says twice a day. I shouldn't do more than that. Do we end up talking about once a day versus twice a day?
We
skip Siftalad because we did Vav. Okay, so I guess, my bad. Okay, good. So it's good I remembered. Or you remembered. Anyway, so, okay, we'll start with that next time. How many bedikos once a day and this funny idea of learning from Taros. And then we're going to go back to Sif Yud Aleph, talk a little bit about Shavuos. And Sif Yud Gimel, Yud Beis, we'll talk a little bit about Benida. Sif Yud Gimel, we'll do a little bit there, not so much. And I think that's probably it. So I hope that we will finish tomorrow, and then we will come back to, then we'll start Kuf Tzadi Zayin. Everybody started Kuf Tzadi Zayin already? Nobody started Kuf Tzadi Zayin already? Aha. Are you close to starting Kuf Tzadi Zayin? Gewaldig.